Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love it.
There you go. We got Shinano, or we got Kirk Morrison today, and I got some very bad news.
I do too. Okay. Called Cappy because he's doing his colonoscopy, I think today or tomorrow.
Oh, is he doing it today?
He texted us earlier today in the group chat and
I
said,
have to get one this summer.
And he said, he just talked about how bad the prep was. I'm like, have you never done this before?
Yeah, the prep does suck. Yeah. I did it a month ago or so.
So I was calling in to see if I can get a live update on my drive-in. No response. So
well,
we're going to call
unconscious.
Him on the air.
Yeah, he might be passed out.
He could be unconscious.
Well, we're still going to call him on the air.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Definitely do.
Yeah.
So you're not playing softball this year, Kirk?
I'm not playing softball.
Ah, such a bummer, man. I could really use you. Ireland drafted me a hell of an awful team.
I disagree.
It's hell awful.
I have bet $100,000 in mythical money on Team Mason.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize.
Now, look at the two teams. Tell me who's got the edge.
I've only glanced at it, and I remember when we talked about this on Friday, somebody tweeted me and said, Mason's team is a bunch of old guys and DeAndre.
They have
Kai.
Oh, and Kai.
Laura and Emily.
Emily and Laura are both young. Ron Mitchell.
Ron.
I might be crippling.
He's like a Ute. We got Cappy on the team.
Kai and Manny are your sleepers.
Look out for Manny Poveda.
If Kai and Manny can play, you're fine. If they suck, you're dead.
It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that other team's very predictable.
You shouldn't have gone on vacation.
I did on vacation. It's like I didn't even get a crack at this. And apparently Ireland
You can't complain if that Ireland picked you a bad team if you weren't even here to do it.
Oh, I'm not. I mean, we'll do what we do, right? We're going to play a softball game. We're going to screw around.
We're going to get drunk,
we're going to get loaded.
We're going to get
stoned. Going to hit the ball
around. What if you win, though? Then John's like the GM of the year.
Exactly. I want the Sam Presti Award if you win.
He'll be Andrew Friedman if we are somehow able to win that thing.
John, you weren't here the other day. John nailed Russell Westbrook where he was going.
Well, oh, really?
He's not Friday. There yet, but I think he's going to go because when I heard today, I heard that Jokic wants him.
Yeah, I read that too.
And so you figured that if whatever Jokic asks for, you know,
and for $4 million,
Don't have to go to the parade, Russell Westbrook, whatever. Yeah.
So the Klay Thompson thing, Shidano.
Hold on, first of all.
Yeah.
He's a Warriors fan.
I'm still in mourning.
Oh, yeah. Are you? Oh, okay.
Do you understand what the Warriors are doing?
We don't know.
Yeah.
First
That's
of all, like,
weird.
Jordan Poole, that was a situation in itself.
Yeah, but he wasn't that good.
But still, though.
But you could have got still something though. For
could have got something. Look what we traded all for last year for CP3. We got nothing left. Like, I don't, as a Warriors fan, 5 years ago, if you asked me who would be the first of the trio to leave, Draymond, Clay, or Steph, who would it have been?
You would have said Draymond.
Because he couldn't stay out of his own way.
And now is Draymond still there? Steph is still there. We got, like, what, two or three good years of Steph left? This is...
When I saw what Clay settled for, which is basically between $16 and $17 million a year for 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Warriors couldn't pay that.
The Warriors offered him 2 for $48 million. But he was just offended by them. He felt like, wait, why didn't I get the $100 million deal Draymond got? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that's what he wanted, more guaranteed money. And they weren't willing to give it to him. Look, I was there a lot last year, okay? I had a bunch of their games. And it just felt like, and I'll say this because it was on the record during one of the broadcasts. You know, Steve told me at the time, like when Clay was struggling, that they had a handful of conversations about trying to get him in the right frame of mind to be able to kind of cope with where he's at this stage of his career, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's, Clay had some moments, certainly, but I don't know what he is at this stage anymore.
By the way, Kurt, I don't think you're allowed to complain. You already had this dynastic run.
Four titles.
I know.
Guess what? There are ups and there are downs, and you're going to go through a down. It's a natural ebb and flow of the league.
I'm just trying to figure out, when LeBron picks up the phone and calls Clay Sunday night, what does LeBron tell him? Like, what is LeBron
Yo, Clay, it's the king.
Like, what is LeBron pitching him?
We need you. Yeah. You'll slide right in. I'll get you tons of
I'll
open
take
shots.
Less money to make room for you. No, he said he would.
You can take your dad's less? Per diem checks, which I know Clay would have done.
Right. Actually, and you actually had a funny line.
Were they like roommates on the road? Michael
well,
and Clay?
Well, that might have deterred him from coming here, is what I say.
That's an excellent point.
He didn't come here because of Michael.
Michael told me once that Clay never tells him about the girls he's dating because he doesn't want to answer questions about him. Oh, so yeah. If Michael and Clay were on the road together, it'd be hard for Clay to fly under the radar. Maybe, George, you might be right. Maybe that did factor in.
So I think the Warriors were in a really tough spot, okay? Yeah. Because they know him as well as anyone, okay? And as I mentioned, right, like they had to like mentally get him in the right frame of mind last year. And they just know, like, hey, this is what he is at this stage. He's still a great shooter, shot 40, over 40% from three.
Just underneath it. Yeah. But after the All-Star break, 41%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, nonetheless, but here's the part where I think he's eroded as a player on defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's not so the same defender he once was.
A three-year commitment to somebody fitting that description is risky.
Well, who plays defense in Dallas?
There are still two-way players in this league.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of guys.
I mean,
play defense.
Look at the Celtics. I mean, Drew Holiday plays hard defense.
Drew Holiday's a great defender.
He's a great defender.
So is
but
Jaylen
he's got
Brown.
1A, 1B offensive players that allow him to go do that.
And by the way, by erosion, I mean you could have put Clay a couple years ago on the best player.
They used to all the time,
right?
Yeah.
And now you can't do that, right? Like he's guarding the third best player, right? In most cases, because of all the injuries, it's not his fault, but that's kind of the reality where he is.
And in, I mean, this may be another case where they, in my estimation, dodged a bullet. Because if they in fact were going to go to 4 years on Klay Thompson, I think that would have been a big mistake. He's at the top of the mountain, or he's on the other side of the mountain.
Yes.
And I don't think you make a 4 year commitment to a 34-year-old.
Yeah. Hey, George, we were talking earlier. If it came down to, and you only had money for one but not both, Brooke Lopez or DeMar DeRozan, who's a better fit for the Lakers?
Brooke Lopez, not even close.
I agree. Yep.
I know that I saw some Laker fans.
You'd have to trade for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's making $23 million. But I saw some Laker fan in my timeline say something like, we already had him once. That didn't work. I'm like,
no, it did. He was good.
But either way, he's become a much better player.
Yeah, he didn't shoot threes
back then. He was not a three-point shooter when he was with the Lakers.
Right, now he's a good three-point shooter, and he's become one of the best defenders in the sport. Right.
And he would allow Anthony Davis to slide to the five. Slide to the four
at times. He could play big.
At times,
yeah. I mean, that they would basically
fit J.J. Redick, though?
Yeah, because he shoots threes.
Is this all about threes now?
Mason had a stat earlier today, Kirk. Listen to this.
I want to hear this.
The team.
I mean, you're a Warriors fan. Are you serious?
These guys, like six, five, six, four. He's like 6'10" guys shooting threes now.
The team that attempted the fewest three-pointers last season in the NBA was the Lakers. The team that attempted the most in the whole league?
Celtics.
Right.
And made the most Celtics.
Look where they finished.
And I would say more times than not, you can look at an individual game in the regular season or the playoffs. 100%
agree with you.
And I would say easily two-thirds of the time.
I would go 75%, even
more. Fair enough. Let's just conservatively, two-thirds of the time, you look at who made more threes, and that's the team that won.
And
Pretty fair measurement.
The Lakers, you could actually make it even more simple. If they shot north of 40% from three, they won almost every time. And if they shoot under 30% from three, they lost. You know, it's just that simple.
So that's D'Angelo Russell during the season. But then we come to the postseason, and he's not shooting 40%.
That's part of why they're down on him.
Boston made the most threes. Dallas made the third most threes. Mm.
It's a three-point shooting league to the degree that people just don't want to admit. It's the quickest way to get back into games.
Yeah.
It's the quickest way to it's a three-point shooting league. Now, there were two teams last year, I'm trying to remember which two, that shot more threes than twos. I mean, it's just running. Houston, when Daryl Morey was down
would do it almost
every game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really – Kirk, let me pivot onto something that
–
Raider fans are mad at me because I'm a Raider fan who is very down on them this upcoming season because they don't have a quarterback.
Okay.
I think that it is pretty simple in NFL. If you have a high caliber Pro Bowl level quarterback, you've got a chance, and if you don't, you don't. I think you can look at every team that made the playoffs last year, and that was the case. Am I underrating Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, or do I have a point?
I think you have a point. because in the NFL, it's all about Patrick Mahomes. It's about Justin Herbert. It's about the quarterbacks who we know. But the only thing going for the Raiders right now, honestly, in my opinion, as I look at them, they just have a confidence about them. They walk in with a swagger, and they're going to do it as a team. But if they don't have the results they need, Davante Adams is walking this year. And that's why he wants more money on the contract.
By the way, Brock Bowers and Davante Adams, I love both of them. What good are they if you don't have anyone who can throw them the ball?
So here's the other thing. And the other kid they drafted last year from Notre Dame with a tight end.
Yeah, Michael Mayer. So you have the guys.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, Kurt, and again, Tom Telesco is there now. They're $35 million under the salary cap.
Right.
They got money. They're just not spending it. And they didn't – I don't know that they had a shot at, like, the quarterback that they see as the franchise quarterback.
But here's the thing. Justin Fields was there for the taking.
Correct. He was there, and I think he would have been great.
He's not that good.
I love Justin Fields.
But wait a minute.
I don't. But he's not that good.
But
I think he's great.
Wait a minute. But he would have been perfect for the Raiders because you try him if he doesn't. I mean, he's now going to be a backup in Pittsburgh. I mean, why? Isn't he? Okay, whether you guys, you two, George and Kirk, don't love Justin Fields, don't you like him more than Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew?
I mean, Aiden O'Connell got you out of the depths last year. Aiden O'Connell was a fourth-round pick.
That's what I'm hearing back from the Raider fans. I'm underrating Aiden O'Connell. I hope I am. I think he's a better passer than
Justin Fields.
I think the first. Do you guys remember what happened last year in Vegas when the Chargers played the Raiders?
I was there. 63.
I was surprised.
63.
I was surprised. Brandon Staley didn't get fired at halftime. He did get fired the next day.
Yes.
All right. But it was a close. I think I texted you at halftime and I said, has a coach ever been fired at halftime? It was that bad.
It was that bad.
Okay, they open up against each other.
Yeah.
Brian, where is the... Oh,
it's
Brian
here.
Left.
It's here.
I think
that's so far.
I think the Chargers, again, who got absolutely boat raced by the Raiders a year ago, are going to come in there with Harbaugh and Justin Herbert and stick it to the Raiders on opening weekend, and I'm praying I'm wrong.
Yeah, but I think it'll be an opening weekend. I think you get a good game.
Yeah, opening weekend is going to be good.
You know, the Raiders and Chargers story is a big one here because if the Raiders finish with a better record than the Chargers are Brian Cohen's team.
Yeah.
And you've seen Brian Cohen with the luscious locks.
Yeah.
He is going to shave his head
if the Raiders finish with a better record than the Chargers. If they tie or the Chargers...
And by the way, there's no other side to the bet.
He just threw it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if the Raiders have a better record than the Chargers, he's cutting.
And they're both, I think their over-under is like 9.
They're right in the same area.
I think the Chargers will win 10 games.
I do too.
I think their schedule, particularly on the front end, is fairly manageable. And I think the Raiders, we looked at it the other day, Cappy and I, they're like anywhere between like 6 and 8 wins.
I agree with that. And I don't know, I'm rooting for him, but I don't know if Antonio Pierce is a head coach in the NFL. He had a good audition last year. What'd they go, 4-4?
What, I think 5-4 down the stretch. Yeah, 5-4.
I think 4-4, 5-4. I think he won the players over. I know Max Crosby said he was going to leave if they didn't hire Antonio Pierce. So they hired him. Are you convinced he's an NFL head coach?
I mean, I can say the same thing about J.J. Redick. You know what I mean?
But you can't say it about Jim Harbaugh.
These guys are former players.
And you can't say it about Sean Payton, and you can't say it about Andy Reid, all who are in that division.
But those are guys who have already had head coaching experience, though.
Right.
When you have guys who don't have head coaching experience, I want to see, like Antonio Pierce last year, when I'm down, that's when I need to find out what kind of coach I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get fired, you're in a bad spot where Josh McDaniels got fired. These dudes went into Kansas City and beat Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on Christmas Day.
Right.
That still resonates with the players. That's why he's got the job. That's what I'm seeing about his experience is going to have to come through those moments because we don't know him as a head coach.
Right.
That's why I'm looking at what we're talking about with J.J. Redick too. What's the first bit of adversity that he faces? How does he handle it? How does he bring the team back out of that moment of adversity?
Well, weird Mason and I were talking about earlier in the show, the weird thing about the NBA, at least through these first few days of free agency, is – very few teams in the West have gotten better. Oklahoma City has.
Oklahoma City's gotten way better.
I think they're a clear number one now. They were the number one team last
year. Dallas just got better.
Caruso and Hartenstein.
But they gave up Josh Green, who they like. Like you pointed out earlier, we're not sure what Clay is and how he fits in there.
Right. But they added someone else before Clay.
I don't love that they gave up Derrick Jones for nothing. I don't love that.
He's good, but he's not.
Are they bringing, I mean... I was trying to picture like a Laker-Mavericks game. Who guards LeBron? PJ Washington, I guess.
Yeah.
Who guards AD? Derek Lively, I guess.
Right, but who guards Luka and who guards Kyrie? Like, we do the other way, too.
Right, well,
like, it's not going to be Austin Reeves, that's for sure. Yeah. No offense. You know?
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm like the one Laker fan who wants D'Lo on the roster when the season starts. I don't think he's going to be here.
You may get stuck with him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that may be, it may be that
that's
he's
a
here.
Real thing.
Not by design.
Here's what I would say, John, is that Minnesota will be better because Anthony Edwards will continue to get better. He's too young.
I love their draft pick, Dillingham. Right. I thought it was good.
I think that Denver's gotten worse.
Yep.
But they still have the MVP.
Clippers
have gotten worse. Although, I'm curious to see the way they fill out the rest of the roster. Because I do think the key to them is going to be...
Nick Batum for Paul George wasn't a good deal?
Well, they got Derek Jones Jr. and Nick Batum to fill those roles. Defensively, they're okay still. But offensively, they're not. You know, does Norman Powell step up? Can Kawhi play? That's the point. If Kawhi can play, then they're fine. Now, the Suns...
Yeah, I just don't think that's ever
New Orleans is better.
Okay.
Even after they trade Brandon Ingram?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're better with DeJounte Murray. I just think that the Brandon Ingram thing has already kind of played itself out there. Like, I don't think...
In other words, do you think he's getting traded?
I don't think he's a max player.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But I don't think the most interesting thing about guys like Lauri Markkanen, Brandon Ingram, and to a lesser degree, Brooke Lopez, is if you trade for them, they've all got 1 year left on their deal.
Right.
In the case of Markkanen and Ingram, they're already telling people, I want the max.
Yeah. But Lopez, he's older now, right. So you get him less. You're probably getting way cheaper.
Yeah, so if you're trading for, like Mace made the case earlier, I'd love to have Markkanen. Who wouldn't? But if you trade for him, you have to decide, okay, am I giving that guy $300 million? You know,
just the thought of that.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know if he's worth it.
Yeah,
and if you don't give it to him, George, then you just traded something to get him for a year.
But if it's something that you didn't like, for example, if you were to make that deal and
if somehow you convince Milwaukee to take Russell, then yes,
correct.
Yeah, you do that all day, every day for Brooke Lopez.
That would be the thing.
But they're not going to do
see,
that.
See, I love Markkanen, and he's dangling out there. Golden State is actually looking at Markkanen,
right? But with Danny Ainge, and John will attest to this, he's not an easy person to make a deal with.
Yeah,
like you got to give up the farm. Like both your first round picks need to go. He's not taking you for anything less than that,
right?
Because you can't trade the pick now. The 20. Oh, I guess you can include the kid.
Yeah, but, no, we don't want to do that.
Right, but I like Connect. I think
I
you
too.
Need cheap labor.
Oh, I think I
know for a fact, George, and you'll back me up on this. If the Lakers tried to trade for Markkanen, Danny Ainge would insist on probably both Connect and Austin Reeves, right. But at least one of them,
right, and both picks.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the thing with Danny Ainge, Masai Ujiri. Like, those guys are hard to negotiate with.
Yeah, you see them calling, don't answer, because you're about to get taken to the cleaners.
Right, they're going
to
want everything.
Yeah.
So,
all right, what do you got coming up?
I mean, we got stuff.
You got any minute there can be breaking NBA news.
Kirk's in the house.
Yeah.
We'll check in on Cappy and see if he's, pooping okay.
See if he's alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's just been a rough weekend for Southern California sports fans. You got the Lakers situation not working out that great. Mexico lost yesterday. Yeah, I mean, Mexican fans are very upset.
Dodgers lost two out of three to the Giants.
Yeah,
pitching's going south.
Rough go.
All right. That sounds like a cheerful show. That's coming up next for you. We're back tomorrow at 1.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Beach vacation over camping? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
Boop, ba da bop.
We'll almost get electrocuted over here.
Beep, ba da bop. There we go. Doop, ba da beep. Kirk Morrison, welcome.
Yeah, what up, what up? Glad to be in the building. What's good?
I'm good, man. I'm glad you're here.
You're really scrubbing that microphone down there, Kirk. Like, literally scrubbing.
You know, hey, John Ireland liked to get after it.
Yeah,
you
man.
You know what I mean?
You know, I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you.
That's why we bring these things in here.
Yeah, I know. I left mine at home today. I did.
I'll get you one and you can just leave it in my office.
There we go.
We all got colors, you know?
I got you. What up? What up?
We're good, man. We got to check in on Cappy. I called him. I'm a little disappointed he didn't pick up the phone.
What's going on with Cappy again?
Now, is he having the colonoscopy today?
Okay. Yes.
It's today.
Oh, it's today.
Yes, it's today.
Is it afternoon, morning?
I'm guessing right now. Like, okay. maybe he's out.
Maybe he's listening to the show in his dream.
But we need to check in on him. I want to know if everything went okay. You know, he's getting in on both ends, as he described it. Endoscopy and colonoscopy is the way. I mean, those. That's a direct quote.
He's gonna have a story.
You a freak, man.
He gonna have a story.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's gonna be a story.
Well, it's the best.
He's already started it.
Have you ever had one?
No, it's approaching.
It's the best sleep you'll ever have.
Oh my God.
It is. I understand why people who take that stuff. You know, I'm not that I'm condoning it,
okay.
But I understand people who when they get addicted to that stuff, okay. Why they would get addicted to it. Because you literally will be out for a while, at least a couple hours, and it feels like 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's already started the group
text. You feel rested.
By saying, guys, colonoscopy prep really sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But he texted this morning, so that's why I thought maybe it was tomorrow.
Well, he was talking about all the fasting, and then he had to drink the stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
The stuff.
The stuff. He said he had to mix it. Yeah.
So we'll find out. We'll find
elixir.
Out where
right.
Cappy is. In the meantime, the Lakers have basically struck out in free agency.
Yeah, man, I feel bad.
You're a Warriors fan. Do you really feel bad? It's okay. You don't have to lie.
Because
well, you got a lot of Laker friends.
I got a lot of Laker friends. So it's like the group chat been lit all weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the group chat has been like, see, dog, look what he doing to us. And I'm like, because everything is always going to be on LeBron.
Wait, like, what is he doing to us?
Like, yeah.
He just offered to take a pay cut.
Yeah, he's offered it. But to one of my boys is just like, look, nobody wants to play with LeBron, but nobody wants to say it publicly. That is something that no one ever talks about. Hmm. No one wants to play with LeBron because no matter what, you go to the Lakers and what happened, you become a scapegoat more so than a better player. Tell me a player that has signed with the Lakers that have walked away as a better player than when they first got there. It just doesn't happen. This is spewing from my buddies who are Laker fans. Like, look, if Klay Thompson went there, he would be number one scapegoat of, see, we shouldn't have signed him. We did it. You know what I mean? Because there's no way you can win or even outshine.
So are you saying they're at the same place they were with Kobe at the end?
Absolutely.
Where it's just like guys are like, yeah, it's just not worth it.
Don't want to go there? And, and I think that we all here in Los Angeles, like your Laker fans, we still have this look of like, man, it's the Lakers. It's the purple and gold. It's banner 17. We about to get to 18. Like, everybody wants to be a Laker. Everybody wants. And I think the way that it's starting to happen, like, are you really getting the top guys now? Remember, before, you top guys would be beating down the door to be a Laker.
Well, the first few years, they had they got guys, right? Like, and they won a championship. You know what I'm saying? Like,
guys was coming here to just, that was, they put that team together.
Well, I'm talking about the first year was a mess, but when they traded for AD, they put a real team together.
That was, and you saw what happened, and then what happened after they put a team together? They broke it all
they
up.
They broke it. Well, the next year, LeBron got hurt.
It was a bunch of one-year deal guys.
Right.
It wasn't, that team was never built for the future. That team was built, let's see what we can
do. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, because KCP was on that team, and KCP's been really good since.
He's been gone, but he was gone, though.
Like, and Kuzma,
he was never there for the future. That's what I'm saying. Everybody was there to, like, let's
win.
Oh, no,
they were all short-term deals.
I'll
give you that. But you could have kept that team together. And the following year, they were 21-6. LeBron rolls his ankle on Solomon Hill. I'll never forget it. Atlanta Hawks. And that changed the entire rest of that title defense season, because he was never the same. Then AD got hurt, and then they were hurt when they played Phoenix when they were up 2-1 in the first round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Phoenix goes on to the NBA Finals. Okay, so I do think that they could have kept, if Kyle Kuzma also would have, and I get it, it wasn't in his best interest.
Yeah.
He wanted to get paid, right. And he wanted shots.
Yeah.
But now look at him. You and the Washington Wizards. You get all the shots you want. You got all the money you want.
Yep.
Ain't nobody care about Kyle Kuzma right now.
Paris Week ain't that fun, huh?
you know what I'm saying?
Fashion Week ain't that fun, no more.
So it is, to me,
a valuable lesson. Like, I get you got to get paid, man.
Yeah.
But you also, it depends on what your priorities are, right? But if I would want to win too. I wouldn't want to go to some desolate franchise like the Washington Wizards because they were going to pay me the most.
But
you know what I mean? Now, granted, he got he wanted out. He wanted out because he wanted opportunity. Right. They wanted Russ. Russ was there. I get it. I get all. I understand. Right. I remember how it all went down. But he wanted that. He could have been here. He could have been part of this, but he was always, remember, people talk about LeBron being passive aggressive. My dude was always talking about was always passive aggressive about shots or I'm sacrificing this. Man, you've been in the league 5 minutes. You ain't sacrificed nothing yet.
But George, I feel like what we're talking about right now is like professional athletes in general.
Oh no, 100%.
Like professional athletes.
You know, you play pro sports.
But I'm saying like everybody, the first couple years you playing and you figuring it out. And then all of a sudden comes that first time
when you're like, I gotta cash in.
I gotta get paid.
Right.
I gotta go get, let me go get mine first.
Right.
Once I go get mine, maybe it's a good situation and you feel good about it and you feel like there's a good structure, infrastructure in place. Or you've spent a couple years and you're like, nah, I'm ready to go win. I need to go win. It doesn't matter. I gotta go win. I can't go out here and just not sacrifice my body, sacrifice myself. I'm looking at Shohei Ohtani wasting years with the Angels. Like, I don't even think about it. Ohtani's been so good this year, we're not even talking about his Angel years no more.
Right.
So to me, it's the same thing. I got to go somewhere where I can go out and go win a championship. That's where the guys are.
Right. Now, remember, Kyle Kuzma basically, in essence, got a very similar deal.
But he got his deal, though.
I'm saying here with L.A., right. They gave him a three-year extension, $40 million, similar to what they did with Austin Reeves, mm-hmm. right? Like, so he got his first contract, but then he wanted the big contract. But the only way he was going to do that was getting shots on a bad team. You know what I mean? But then people start. But here's what happens. I feel you.
He'll come back home.
I don't know about home.
He'll come back to realize he'll go
somewhere eventually, right? Where he'll get, like, here's what's going to happen with Kyle Kuzma.
What?
People are going to say and realize, okay, he's not that dude, but he'd be a good player on a championship team because we've seen him win a championship if he's willing to play a role.
Right.
And maybe in a few years, he's willing to do that, to your point. But anyway, long story short, the problem here has been that they have misjudged a lot of things over time with this roster.
Who is they?
The front office.
Who is they?
The organization.
You can't just say they.
The organization.
You got to put names out there.
Okay, well.
Because the thing about when we say
they. I mean, we could start from the beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, from the beginning, Magic Johnson made miscalculations.
Boom. That's a big
and
one.
I love Magic.
And we love, but Magic.
Magic wanted us to give Cappy 8 field passes to the Washington Commanders. But I remember, I've told this story before. I remember they built that team that first year with LeBron.
Yeah.
Michael Beasley and mm-hmm. Lance Stevenson. And I'm like, where's the shooting on this team? And they were like, we want playmakers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, playmakers? You got the best playmaker in the world on your mm-hmm. team. What do you need playmakers for? Maybe one, but not like three. Like, they can't shoot. So, and I remember at Summer League that year, okay? I remember I was on the sideline for whatever night game was happening.
Was it when Lonzo got here? Was this Lonzo?
I don't remember anymore. Like, they all kind of run together.
The Lakers are back. Remember that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Maybe it was the year after Lonzo. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, Magic was there.
Right.
And I'm walking by him.
Yeah, that's when he was. Lakers are back, babe. We back.
And
Summer League title.
He kind of grabs me and goes, oh, you're just going to walk by? Mm. And not say hello? And I was like, yeah, what's up? And I'm like, you good? He's like, I'm good. You good? And I'm like, because of course they heard everything right. We were saying, but it's like, no, I'm good. And we were good.
Right.
Okay. And you know, but I didn't agree. I didn't back down. That's why I said, you good? Because
yeah.
I'm good. You know, when you have that, you don't need to say much. You know what I'm saying?
You ever saw that meme before?
Yeah.
Somebody can say you good in like five different languages.
Right, right. You good?
You good? You good?
Oh, you good.
Oh, you good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you good. Okay.
Exactly.
Are you good?
Right.
Like,
right. That's what we had. He and I
had that.
He had that. So he and I had that conversation. But then I would say, look, I think they did a nice job at when they got the AD deal.
Right.
I think they did a nice job of putting that team together. Didn't have great shooting, but had good enough shooting that year.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the following year, I already told you things went haywire for them. The Russ thing. To me, everyone blames LeBron on the Russ thing. This organization, the front office, the general manager, everyone involved, they were all in on Russ. Okay, all of them. Don't let anyone fool you now. A few years later, everybody was in on that. LeBron was just the most vocal and the most forward-facing of it because he was sitting behind me at Summer League with Russ right behind me, okay, in Vegas at the Thomas and Mack Center. But everybody was in on that. And ever since that, things have kind of gone sideways. Now, Pelinka had a, you know, kind of saved himself a little bit.
Why? Because nobody wants to take blame for that?
No, they blame LeBron. The Russ thing is all blamed on LeBron, even though it wasn't all LeBron. Okay.
See, I learned something new.
There you go.
Because, see, everybody else is blaming the organization on why would you make that deal? Why would you give up that kind of money, that kind of draft capital for a guy who possibly wouldn't have fit with the Lakers?
But
we blaming LeBron on that. See,
right.
I like to play the blame game.
There's so many haters, though, that are just like, oh, it's all LeBron because, you know, he was running the team. He's running the show.
Hey, when you win, we all win, right?
Right.
We all win.
But
when you lose,
it's LeBron's fault.
It's somebody's fault.
But
that's why when bad decisions happen, who fault is it?
Here's what I'll say, and I'll tell you on the other side. Pelinka saved himself two seasons ago. He got a golden ticket, basically. Right, because
Willy Wonka golden ticket.
But since then, they have made more mistakes. Okay. And we can get into that. And by the way, I'm not trying to single out Rob because they openly talk about this is a collaboration.
Right.
Okay. Yes, he's the general manager, vice president, personnel, whatever you want to call him, whatever his title is. He deserves that title. But this is a collaboration. Okay. So what I'm saying, everybody deserves blame. Mm-hmm. I ain't just singling out Rob here. Right. Everybody deserves blame. But we can get into that in a second. But you know what?
What?
You know what you need to do? If you get into an accident, you can't be blaming anyone else if you ain't calling Jacob, okay? Mm. You get into an accident, you better call Jacob right away, or you can only blame yourself.
Because people are mad on that road right now. It's too hot. If you ain't got air conditioning, watch out.
Hell. 844-24-JACOB, okay? So you shouldn't forget these eight words, all right? We've all heard the jingle. Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob. Don't forget those eight words, because if you're involved in an accident, slip or fall at the market or the store, you need help. So if you're in an accident, you get an injury, you call my guy Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob, man. Jacob and his team will get you to the doctor, make sure you get the rental car, all without paying a penny, and they'll handle the phone calls and make sure you get the settlement that you deserve. Call them at 844-24-JACOB. Tell them Sedano, Mason, and the crew at 710 sent you. Let Jacob and his team remove all the stress from having to deal with the insurance company. Let's hope you don't need to call Jacob, but if you or a friend or a loved one get involved in an accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob. Call him at 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Tell them Sedano, Mason, and the crew at 710 sent you again. You need Jacob because he's the real deal, man. So call him at 844-24-JACOB or visit him online at calljacob.com.
Hey, guys. Today at 5 o'clock with Beto Duran and Mario Ruiz at the Mercado Gonzalez Northgate Market in Costa Mesa. It's a watch party for USA versus Uruguay. Watch the game, win fabulous prizes, and experience the only Mercado like this in Southern California. Northgate Gonzalez Market. Every visit has a story. Find a store near you at northgatemarket.com.
Are you ready to build your company's dream team? Just like in sports, finding skilled players is essential for success. With Robert Half's winning combination of specialized recruiting professionals and award-winning AI, we'll help you find the MVPs and key role players who will have you hanging banners in the rafters. Because in business, it's all about having the experienced team on your side. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, don't forget my number. Milli Vanilli, man, for a minute.
Have you watched a documentary?
I have. I saw the inside, the VH1 Behind the Music or whatever.
It was on Paramount Plus, wasn't
it? Yeah, whatever the one that was. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, it was. It was a very, very well done. They went through everything.
I was really into it. And the only way they found out was because they tried to make him sing at an award show, I think.
And it was like a tour. It was a concert.
No. They were at...
Where were they at?
They were at in Bristol, Connecticut.
Yeah.
They were at Lake Compounds, which is right across the street from ESPN's.
Okay.
It's a water park. Okay.
Yes.
Like a Six Flags. Okay. And it was, it's literally right down the street from ESPN.
Literally. Yeah.
Literally. Like Cappy, who literally lives at the East Central. Okay. And they had this summer jam like thing there. It was like a concert with a bunch of different groups.
With Downtown Julie Brown hosted it.
And there the thing started to skip.
Yeah.
And she was totally getting it on with one of them.
Yeah. I watched the whole thing and I was like, I was more like the behind the scenes stuff though.
It's crazy how back then everyone was so mad at Milli Vanilli, and even to this day, like, they just get trashed, but it wasn't their fault. They were a bunch of, like, poor guys basically living on the street that a record company was like, oh, these guys are good looking. Let's try and make them into stars.
But they weren't even getting paid like that.
Right.
Right.
Like, that was the big part. Like, I was like, Milli Vanilli.
They made
like,
so much money off of them. And
the
then
people who was actually singing the songs was like, hold on, I need more credit. I need this.
The record company made all the money.
The record company made it all. Oh, man, that was... I gotta go watch it again.
Well, record companies jack artists all the time.
But this was like a three-way jack, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I feel you.
Like they was jacking the people who were singing, and then the actual people, Milli Vanilli, who was performing,
right?
By the way,
well, it's like do you remember Black Box? The group Black Box?
No. What is the Black Box?
Strike It Up. You ever remember
that
song?
The song. Yes.
Strike It Up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Martha Wash is the singer. CNC Music Factory. She's also the singer. They used to Martha Wash used to sing all these songs for these you know groups and record companies.
Everybody get there.
Yeah, yeah. She used to sing all that stuff, but because she was a bigger woman,
yes,
they didn't want her in the music videos.
Her, yeah.
But she sang it.
I saw it on a clip on Instagram.
Yeah. So
one of them old Arsenio Hall clips.
I mean, record companies be crazy, dog.
Like in the Milli Vanilli thing, they said that the guy got the idea from a band from the 70s. I forget which one it was, but he created them.
Well, I didn't see whatever you're talking about on Paramount Plus, but I saw it back in the day.
Oh, no, it's new. It came out
VH1's Behind the Music.
Yeah.
Those shows were real. Like, they used to do documentaries on every artist back in those days.
Yeah, this one of them new ones that, like, on the bootleg. I was at the barbershop.
Yeah.
So, you know, just you watch what's on at the barbershop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, it just came out, like, a couple months
couple
ago,
months
and
ago,
it's fantastic.
That's the new one, George. You got to go check this one.
You have to
check
it out.
You walk
into
the barbershop,
and
you're like, oh, what y'all watching? Oh, we watching Milli Vanilli.
you know it's true.
But then you start watching for 5 minutes, and you start realizing, like,
fair enough.
They got screwed. And the best part is when he's like, I can sing in person. Girl, you know it's true. And it's so bad. So out of key. And
one of them actually could sing okay, though.
Yeah.
Eventually. I forgot which one.
After a while, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One passed away.
One passed away, right.
Yeah. And he's still singing.
Yeah.
He's still getting it.
He actually sounds pretty good now, but it took him a while to get there.
Yeah. So, speaking of taking him a while to get there, that's also been the case with the Lakers, it feels like. So,
let's see what you did.
So, after Russ.
Yep.
It's been a little, you know, they had like a stay basically because Rob was able to get a couple guys at the deadline a couple years ago and they caught fire and they went to the conference finals. They got the right matchups. They got Memphis. They got the Warriors. And then they met Denver and it was over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But and last year when we were going into it, I was like, you know, they re-signed those guys. Like, I get it. I said, but it'd be nice if they add some new additions they add and make some sense. Now, look, they went after Gabe Vincent. I got the understanding. He never panned out because he couldn't play because he was hurt.
Yep.
Right. But I didn't love the Christian Wood signing. I didn't love the kid they got from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. What's his name? It escapes me now. Anyway. He wasn't that good.
Not Hayes.
No. Jackson Hayes,
yeah,
yes.
Hayes, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't love those two signings.
Right.
And I people still argue with me about Christian Wood. I'm like, yo, Christian Wood puts up empty numbers, dog. Like, he put, right, D?
No, you're not wrong.
I mean,
you
play ball. You don't ball.
Exactly.
That dude puts up empty numbers.
He does.
He's a nice dude, but he don't put, and like, he's talented, but there's a reason you've been on like 8 teams, you know? If you were that good, somebody would have kept you.
Exactly. Mm.
You know? So, like, that's part of the issue, is that they have yet to been able to build anything sustainable.
Correct.
And they've also just, like, you have to, when you're the general manager of any team, any professional team, and you tell me if I'm wrong about football, but I feel like you need to have what you believe is a core. And then the other pieces need to be able to be moved around.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And I think that the Lakers maybe made a few misjudgments with this particular group that they have at the moment. I remember after last playoffs, I was telling people, even before the playoffs, I was like, yo, you can't trust D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell's not a great player.
Yeah.
Like, he's good player, he's not a great player. And this team needs him to be a great player.
Yeah.
And I don't think he fits that role. And again, I'm not trying to hate on D'Angelo. I think D'Angelo is a good NBA player. But there's a difference between good and great, as I just mentioned. So he has these bad playoffs, and I'm like, you got to sell on D'Angelo Russell as soon as you can, okay? And now, for whatever reason, whether it's teams weren't that interested or the offers they had weren't great, I know they were trying to get DeJounte Murray. They wanted Austin Reeves, but they didn't want just D'Angelo. Like, you needed to get off D'Angelo when you had the chance. Because now what's happened is this, okay? Even though he's got 1 year left on his deal, okay? One. That's the easiest contract to move in theory, okay? But Rob said it best the other day. Okay, that's why I'm not trying to blame Rob completely, because again, this stuff is nuanced, all right? So Rob said what at the J.J. Redick press conference?
He said it's difficult. It's very difficult to make a trade.
Do we have it?
No, he didn't say it at the press conference. He said it after the fact.
Oh, in a media scrum.
Yeah, with Dave McMenamin.
Okay. I could have sworn he said it at the press conference too, but it's okay. Nonetheless, he did say those words, okay? Right. And he's right. It is harder to make a trade now because, not to get too far into the weeds, but the NBA has basically said, we are trying to create the NFL model, okay? We want to make sure that everybody's got a shot, okay? And by the way, they've kind of done it. They've had six different champions, okay?
Yep.
And now they've created this salary structure where there's, you know, the luxury tax, then there's the first apron and the second apron. And the higher you go up on those things, the more punitive it is. Even so much so that if you surpass the second apron, which is in essence now a hard cap, you can't buy guys out. Like, you can't get a buyout guy at the buyout deadline in March. You can't use your mid-level exemption because those are things that they're doing it to make more competitive balance between the teams. Right. It's why Indiana, they had some luck along the way, but Indiana gets to go to a conference finals, right? It's why you have six different champions. So it's why I've been telling Laker fans, Kirk, for months, for years even, okay? You can't rely on just being the Lakers anymore. That ain't going to work no more. This ain't the Shaq and Kobe or the Showtime era.
See, that's the hard part. People don't listen.
This is a different NBA. Yeah. The landscape is different. So much so that your general manager has said on the record that it's hard. He's right. Now, it's hard, but it doesn't mean they couldn't have done things. I think you should have taken whatever you could have gotten for D'Angelo Russell, made it work, and that way you'd be in a position, perhaps in a better position today than you were when you're trying to get a Klay Thompson, and the only asset you have to dangle is D'Angelo Russell. And by the way, you know this because you're a Warriors fan. He didn't play that great there, and they didn't necessarily love having him there.
So could you say social media hurt the Lakers?
What do you mean?
Listen to me for a second, George. Remember, everybody used to come to L.A. to do what? To build their brand. It was about, if you come to L.A., you're going to get primetime games. You can plan on Sundays. You're playing Saturday night. Every primetime game, when you're a Laker, everybody wanted to come to L.A. Now, with social media, you've already got a brand. If you got a brand, what you going to do with your brand? Now, I don't have to be a Laker. I can have my shoe drop on Instagram. I can have my shoe drop over here. I can drive my shoe drop over. I can build my own brand without having to be in Los Angeles. That's where I think social media has changed it. Before, everybody used to go run to L.A.
Remember 100%.
That? It was like Shaq was the first big star.
Oh, back
like,
in the 90s, 96.
Run to L.A. Yeah. And look at what it is. Shaq, I mean, don't get me wrong. Shaq was already.
Well, I mean, you can even go back further than that. Kareem and then right.
But Shaq,
I mean, Kareem
was
in Bruce Lee movies, dog.
Yeah, but it all happened because guys came to what?
L.A. No doubt.
It's not the same no more.
No,
it's not.
Anthony Edwards is in movies. He's in Minnesota.
Right. Tyrese Halliburton gets drafted by the Sacramento Kings. He's over now. He's in Indianapolis. Right. And what? Now he's a name.
Right.
It's just, to me, social media has changed that to a point where being a Laker, it's cool. But it's also now you can go anywhere and be that guy. And I think that's what Kyle Kuzma was trying to do. That's what Lonzo, so many guys were trying to do that. And it's just not the case no more, man. It's just like being in the purple and gold,
the structure hasn't been there in the last, what, 4 or 5 years, George, to where you feel like every single year we got an opportunity. It's every single year they're trying to put it all together instead of saying we got the core piece like you talked about, that no matter what, we just got to add a couple pieces. The core piece is always evolving, George, always. LeBron, AD, and then who? LeBron, AD, and then who?
Right.
Think about it. Who is it? Every single year, you got to get, we need more out of D'Angelo. No, D'Angelo's a theater guy. He's not a stadium guy, meaning he can play in a theater, but you put him at SoFi with the bright light, oh, it's different. Playoffs are different. The Lakers don't have those guys.
So I would say this, and by the way, real quick, you heard Lindsay mention earlier, today at 5 mm-hmm. o'clock, which is 14 minutes away, our guy Beto and Mario Ruiz, they're at the Mercado Gonzalez Northgate Market in Costa Mesa. It's a watch party for USA versus Uruguay.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the Uruguay. Game. Watch the game. Oh, you said it right. I mean, I'll say it right.
I'm trying.
You said it right. I anglicized it. It's Uruguay.
Uruguay.
Yeah. Watch the games with Win Fabulous Prizes Experience, the only Mercado like this in Southern California, Northgate Gonzalez Market. Every visit has a story. Find a store near you at northgatemarket.com. So what I would add to that is this. Because people are wondering, well, how did the Lakers strike out again? How is it they can't get these big-name free agents? Okay, well, let's start at a very basic level. Let's start with the fact that they don't have money available as free agents, right? So that's one thing you have to check off. For them to have acquired...
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Let's say, there were a couple of guys on the LeBron list of the pay cut, mm-hmm. okay? One of them was James Harden, which I didn't see happen. First of all, James Harden just made $35 million a year for 2 years, okay? $70 million.
He good.
LeBron was they would have had to have traded a lot of stuff, again, to the Clippers, who weren't going to do a sign-and-trade. They didn't do a sign-and-trade for Paul George.
Yeah.
So they're not going to do it for anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to do it for James Harden.
They let Paul George walk. Just put that in your mind.
Right.
Too.
They're not going to do it. Mm. So they didn't do it to the Warriors. They're sure as hell not going to do it to the Lakers. Okay? So let's eliminate that. Then there was Klay. Now, the Klay thing, again, for LeBron to have, or for Klay to have fit into the Lakers without trading D'Angelo, which clearly there's not much of a market for him, right?
And the Warriors already saw what that looked like.
No.
And the Warriors didn't want none of that.
None of that. Okay.
Y'all can have D-Russ for the second time. We don't want that. He came to Oakland. They ran him up out the town.
They could not get him out fast enough.
Ran him out the town.
Let's just say they did not enjoy the D'Angelo experience up there. Mm-mm. Okay. So that was never going to happen. You would have had to have shipped D'Angelo in a third deal, is what I'm saying, and for nothing. Yeah. Like, you would have had to have sent him to a team for space. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know how that works. You know what I mean? So, like, that was never going to happen between D'Angelo Russell and the Lakers with Golden State as a one-for-one.
Right.
That was never going to happen, okay? Mm-hmm. Not in a million years.
Correct.
Okay? So, that means LeBron would have had to have gone from $51 million that he's currently making to $25 million to accommodate Klay as a $13 million mid-level exemption player, okay, to make the math work in the salary cap.
Yeah.
And just trust me when I tell you that's how the math would have needed to work, because they would have had to have been under one of those thresholds that I explained earlier. So the chances of that were happening were also slim, okay?
Because Bron only did it for one other person or two other people.
And then it was Jonas Valanciunas, who was also on the list.
Yeah.
And then Lakers, I don't know, what, maybe they didn't want to go a third year for him. He went for $30 million, 10 a year.
No,
now, that was doable.
I'm saying Bosh and Wade when he took the pay cut.
Oh, back then.
I'm talking about back in the day.
You got to go back 14 years for the last time he took an actual pay cut.
And so I think he's at a point now where I could take a little bit off, but back in the day.
But not $25 million. That's different. Okay, he wasn't taking $25 million. Okay, maybe 10, 12, whatever, you know. But
Aaron Rodgers doing it in Green Bay, in New York,
right?
The Jets.
So the Valanciunas stuff, okay, they could have had Valanciunas, but it didn't work out. Like, for whatever reason, I don't know the story behind Valanciunas, so I'm not going to claim to know that. But it is weird that he goes for 3 for 30. Like, that could have been figured out. I thought maybe not. Okay. And then I guess I heard Mason Ireland talking about it. I have not heard that DeMar DeRozan was one of these guys. Mm-mm. But they said he was. I just don't love the fit with DeMar DeRozan necessarily. You know, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe DeMar DeRozan at this stage can make it work and make it fit. I just also don't see DeMar DeRozan being a mid-level guy. That's just me. I could be wrong because people thought he was a mid-level guy the last time, and then he got paid like $28 million.
So enlighten me on this one, though, George, because I remember back around the trade deadline a while ago, maybe during the season. Remember DeJounte Murray? Was DeJounte Murray ever available from Atlanta?
Yes, last season.
Remember that?
Right, but they wanted Austin Reeves. I would have done it.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't want to act like I would have.
I would have done it.
Think about it now. You probably could have.
You got to cash that chip in at some point.
Because
he's a chip.
Yes.
Austin is a chip. His contract, he even now, I believe he is better than a $12 or $13 million player.
Correct.
You got to cash that chip at some point for a better player than him.
You would have got a dude. You would have got a
dude. And now New Orleans got him.
Austin Reeves is a good guy. Great guy.
No, you got to give something to get something.
Get that?
Right.
If the Lakers had DeJounte Murray right now, think about it. A year ago, we're talking about they get DeJounte Murray. You got LeBron. You just got to get a couple pieces. You good.
Right.
You can let LeBron take some time off.
Right.
Now we're trying to find who's going to be that next scorer to get LeBron, the Lakers, through the regular season without having to worry about load management. I'm just trying to throw it out there.
It's a compliment.
Do your job.
It's a compliment to Austin Reeves.
It is.
You're trading him for what I think is a better player. You know what I'm saying? Again, I'm sure Austin doesn't think he's a better player, but, you know, that's fine. He's entitled to his opinion. Right. I think DeJounte Murray is a better player. You got to cash that chip in at some point, but it is what it is. But that's how we are here, where they've struck out. This is how you've gotten to this level. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to play a game here, I was told. Mm-hmm. You played this game at training camp?
I played this game.
Okay. Yeah. Lindsay's got a game. Chris has walked into the studio. I don't know what he's walking in for.
They asked me to play.
Oh, yeah. You're going to play?
Go Kings Go, right behind him.
Okay.
There we go.
So, what are we playing here? What is the game that we're playing?
Who can do it?
Who can do it?
Yeah.
You can do it all night long?
I mean, if you want to.
No, I'm just saying, you know.
We played this at training camp.
We did. I love this game.
And it made for a very fun time. Okay, yeah. So this is a sit around drinking, hang out card game. Stack of cards. Basically, mm-hmm. You got to do what the card says. So if something refers to the judge, whoever sitting to the right of you is a judge, right? So you just got to do whatever's on the card.
So she shuffles
so
the cards.
So my right would be Kirk.
Yeah. Yes.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Shuffle the cards. Here we go.
Am I just grabbing whatever card?
Whatever card. Pick one.
Out of the deck. Okay. All right.
Oh, man.
So it says beatbox.
I'm leaving then. There's no point. I'm not going
to
beatbox.
You don't have to do it. Just George has to do it.
Oh, George does
it. Or don't I have to pass it to Kirk? How does that work?
No. You got to do it, and then he'll pick a card after you're done with your little task there.
Hey, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's terrible, a lot of heavy breathing. I enjoyed that, though.
I kind of like that. All right, next one. Hope you get a good one like last time.
No,
this is how we got the puke in the Escalade story.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
Okay. Now I'm the judge then. If you have a judge related card.
Oh.
Read it.
Ooh. Tell everyone something you learned in sex ed.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What did I learn?
I mean, this is what California Cryobank Read should be coming after this. Do we have one for Cappy from Cappy? We can just play.
What did I learn?
Everyone has to do this one. Best one wins, and I'm the judge.
The best one wins. So everybody got to do this one.
Yep.
Everybody. What did I learn? See, I went to Catholic school. So it was
well, it depends
different.
On what, I mean, you know. Never mind.
I was also a long time ago.
This is a long time. Do we even do sex ed anymore, or is that just Instagram now?
No, we do it here at the station, yeah. Oh, on the air.
Are you the teacher?
No, Cappy's the teacher, unfortunately.
Sex ed, men's health, get your colonoscopies, everyone. I don't know, man.
It's just, honestly, like, the problem is I probably had sex ed in, like, what, 8th or 9th grade? You know what I mean? Like, that was 30 years ago.
I do remember. Our gym teacher was our health teacher. Was that the same for you guys?
No.
So our gym teacher was our health teacher, and he was a younger guy, probably, like, early 30s. Mr. Nigro, I remember him. He was a very good-looking man. Okay. And he was trying to...
What?
I had the same reaction you did.
DeAndre gave me a look.
I had the same reaction you did.
He's a good looking guy. Anyway, so he was telling this story about.
Yeah, that was a Saved by the Bell episode.
We were learning about like STDs, and he was trying to be like funny and like cool, I guess. He's like, don't you guys know, like, she gave me gon-gon, she burned me.
Oh, hey now.
And we were like,
that's a little
what?
Extra.
What? Like, he was like giving us slang, and we're in seventh grade, and we're like, no. He's like, you guys never heard that? She burned me. And we're like,
gon-gon.
No, okay. Never heard that one before. And he was like, oh, okay. And he was so embarrassed.
Diarrhea, as they call it.
Yeah.
The closest thing, though, for me, I would say was my aunt. So every time I would go over to my aunt's house, and I would be like, I had like a little cold, or like I was under the weather, she was like, mm-hmm. Who you been kissing?
Oh,
I'm like, what you mean? I ain't been kissing no one. She was like, well, you know, every time you got a sore throat, you sick, you've been kissing somebody. So you've been over there kissing. That's the closest thing I had to a sex ed teacher was my aunt telling me who you been kissing.
Who'd you get mono from?
Oh, that's a whole different story. But oh, my God, that's a different story.
Wait, so they don't teach?
We actually had a mono guy in college.
Oh, no. Everyone
I had
has a guy.
Mono
guy,
I had
right?
a buddy, roommate of mine. I won't say his name. Missed a game because of mono.
Oh, wow.
In the school newspaper, it was a picture of him on a knee with a helmet, and it says, Player X missed the game due to mononucleosis. I wish I still had this paper.
The clipping would be fantastic, yeah.
Didn't that happen to one of the Jets players, the Jets quarterback?
Yeah, little Zachy.
Yeah.
Wow, Zach, yeah. He's got engaged, by the way.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah. And it's not somebody's mom.
Yeah. We got to break here
soon.
It's
okay if it's somebody's mom. It's okay. That's fine.
You got to pick one since
you
got
to pick
go.
One. We got to go to break, so.
I didn't know we did that here anymore.
Yeah.
No restrictions.
Introduce yourself to the judge in your best Australian accent.
Now, George is your judge for this one.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Mate. They say mate. Oh, yeah, mate, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want the shrimp on the bobby, mate?
It's
fine.
I would say it's like a C. Yeah.
I'll take a C.
Yeah, it passes.
I guess. Yeah. Kind of like, never mind. Yeah.
All right. That is.
That's all
Who
we got?
Do it. I mean, you guys
Who can do it?
One? We
Who
do
can
one do more? It? I can pull a card.
Oh, yeah, you didn't do one yet.
So tomorrow, I'm going to tease this.
Well,
later.
We have a 6-minute break. So how about we pull the card afterwards?
Let me. Well, I got to go, but I want to pull it right now. But I'm going to tell you something else. Producer DeAndre does two incredible impersonations that he dropped on us Friday night at the Cody Woo goodbye party. Mm-hmm. He will do those tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So during a live imaging Tuesday.
Okay. I want to hear them now. Now I'm excited. He's hyping you up, so you better nail it now.
I got you.
Okay.
And you're going to have to watch YouTube tomorrow because you have to see, for one of them specifically, you have to see the gestures.
Okay,
fair enough. Okay, the mannerisms. I got you.
Seeing those movements you're making, you're like, the gestures.
All right, we're back in a couple minutes. We'll be back 2 more hours to go. 710 ESPN.